As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Coming up on today's show, we talk about the Blazers and Nets and catch up on some trade rumors.
Harden surveys, drives all the way. Oh, it's tipped home by Claxton.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Dang. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We've got all your action. Actually, Mo, we're only going to talk about this one game because there's just too much trade stuff.
Too much trade stuff, and let's just be honest, Dave, a lot of blowouts tonight.
It wasn't a great night. Injuries conspired to, you know, kind of ruin the night. But you know what? We got a good game. And I'm not going to call this a game of the year, but it's probably in the top 10. I mean, it's up there. Crazy game in Brooklyn to a certain degree.
In Portland
to a certain degree. No fans.
I mean, I know the courts look the same.
Yeah. Oh, no. I definitely, for like 3 minutes, forgot that Brooklyn was wearing the white jerseys at one point tonight. So maybe I'm watching a little too much basketball. But Brooklyn wins this game 116 to 112. 21 lead changes in this game. They were tied 9 times. Very back and forth game. And it's funny because you look at the box score, and for Portland, nobody really jumps out at you. It was a very balanced effort across the whole lineup. And when you look at Brooklyn, hey, look, James Harden leading the way. And I thought we might get a little bit more Damian Lillard down the stretch of this one, but they weren't able to pull it out. Mo, how'd you feel about Brooklyn in this game? I mean, again, they're still shorthanded. No Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving still missing time for, you know, I guess the next few games. James Harden almost missed this game, but was a late addition to the lineup. Had dealing with a neck injury. How'd you feel about Brooklyn in this one?
No, I mean, I just thought it was a great effort across the board for Brooklyn. I think, you know, James Harden, again, it's very much like, okay, I'm going to go into my Houston Rockets mode and kind of create for everybody. But they got a lot of good contributions, you know, across the board. I mean, Harden, Jeff Green was great. They had, I mean, Joe Harris, again, just doing what Joe Harris does, knocking down shots. You know, they got some good minutes from Blake Griffin, who finished with 8 points and did a good job moving the ball and things like that. And then, you know, we got to talk about him because he's just the guy everybody's talking about. It's Nicholas Claxton was phenomenal down the stretch, but really this whole game, and his ability to switch constantly and be able to take smalls is going to be huge for the Nets going forward.
There was a possession in crunch time, and he was guarding Damian Lillard on the perimeter and forced Damian Lillard to pass the ball to Robert Covington, I think, for a contested three that wound up coming off the front of the rim. That's something that I didn't realize Brooklyn was going to have. You know, when we were talking about them this year, you know, we were thinking Jared Allen, DeAndre Jordan, and we didn't really know anything about Claxton. I definitely didn't. This is a new wrinkle for them. They've been defending better anyway, but when you have a guy that can do what he's able to do, switching, and also as a vertical threat, because, you know, James Harden has perfected that lob that might be a floater. You're not quite sure. And Claxton has great hands and is capitalizing on that quite a bit. But this is a wrinkle that I did not realize Brooklyn was going to have. And I'm starting to feel like we should be talking about them as runaway favorites in the East, because this guy is a game changer for them defensively.
Well, let's slow your roll there.
Like, of course, now pump you need the brakes. He's a rookie.
But they didn't have this guy. I understand that. But it's like, you know, and he's great. There's still going to be a whole lot of other things they're going to have to figure out. And it's going to come down to also in the situation of what are you going to do with your rotations when you have Kyrie and you have KD back, and where does he fit in those things? And now how does it play with, you know, okay, where – you know, how many minutes are you going to play Blake, or are you going to play, you know,
Jeff Green?
There's Jeff Green, and they all provide different things. So like he does take their defense to another level because of his ability to switch. But like, you, let's pump the brakes there on like, okay, this makes them the runaway favorites in all of these things. And, you know, he's playing really well, but let's also look at it this way. He only just started playing, you know, at the end of February for this team. So it's not like he could just be on an unbelievable streak. This is 11 straight games where he's getting minutes.
Yeah. It's Claxanity. Was one of the things that worried me about Blake when they signed him, was he would steal minutes, but clearly they just can't take minutes away from Claxton. You know, speaking of Blake, I thought Blake looked pretty good in this game. He was moving well. I thought he did basically what they needed him to do. How do you feel about Blake? I mean, you know his game as well as anybody.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's fine. Like, he's still working in the flow of things. He hadn't played for a long period of time. It was his second game on the thing. You know, there's no question. It's not like, I don't think he's a game changer for them overall. Nice piece to have, but I don't know really what it's going to look like down the stretch for them and how many minutes they're actually really going to get from him, where he's a full-on contributor, but he can do stuff. But it's not like, listen, if I'm the opposing team come playoff time, I'm going to let Blake shoot threes. I don't care. He can make 10 of them. Cool. Let's see if he can make 11. It's just because I don't want the other guys going off, right? And you'll live with that and things like that. So it will be interesting to see how that plays well, but he looks a lot better than the way he looked in the beginning in Detroit. So that's actually a promising step forward.
Harden had a rough shooting night. He was 0 of 7 from 3, 7 of 24 from the field, but had 17 assists. How do you stop this guy? Like, you just can't. Even when the shot's not falling, he's able to just generate offense.
You know, the key is, and I think teams need to start kind of going back a little bit into the archives and watch how the Spurs played him in that series when they beat Houston a few years back, right? And it's the key is don't foul him, because he got 13 free throws. Right. That's a big one. Going 11 to 13 from the line. Like, that's a killer. And the thing the Spurs really did a good job in that series, I remember pretty well, was just constantly showing their hands. And it was literally they had their hands up the whole time. And I think that's going to be something teams will have to do. But in terms of just stopping him, you're never going to stop him. There's no stopping great players. It's slowing them down. It's making it difficult for them. It's trying to contain them. And that's really what it's going to come down to. There's no stopping James Harden, a Kevin Durant, or a Kyrie Irving. It's, can you slow these guys down enough? And I think that's something these things are going to happen. And then also, let's just be honest, Portland, they're not slowing down a lot of teams.
That's true. I mean, I think we should mention that Enes Kanter did have 19 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists in 40 minutes. So, you know, kind of a rough night for Portland, because you've got Enes Kanter playing center for 40 minutes. But he wasn't awful in this game. I mean, he was pretty good. They were good in the minutes that he was out there.
He's been good all season. You know, it's not like he's been terrible. He's been good for them all season. And he's part of the reason why they were able to stay afloat when CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic went down. Like, I think we have to give him a little bit more credit than we do. You know, he does some goofy stuff. He had a little pissing match with Harden at one point in this game, and it was really nothing. But, it's one of those things. But he's just a solid contributor. He knows what he does. He knows, and he does it well. And I think that's kind of a big thing for the Blazers.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Well, Thursday is the trade deadline, and that means for Wednesday morning, we've got trade rumors, Mo. I'm pretty sure that you're on the trade block right now. It seems like...
Nobody has enough out there to trade for me. Nobody has enough out there. I'm too much of a valuable prospect, Dave.
First, we've got reports on Kyle Lowry saying that he's seeking a 2-year, $50 million extension from a potential new team or the Raptors, which is, you know, hey, I'm with you there. I'll take 2 years, $50 million from whoever. But do you feel like that's a high price tag for him? Is that going to keep teams from maybe pulling the trigger on that trade?
No. If let's just put it you this way. If you think Kyle Lowry is the missing piece for you to win a championship, and let's just say Philadelphia by chance, that is a price tag worth paying, right? Plain and simple. If that's going to win you a championship, you do that every time and you don't hesitate. So I don't think that's going to push anybody away. I think anybody that was going to trade for Kyle Lowry was always going to have the plan of, we are going to sign him when he becomes a free agent and we're going to meet his price. Like if you're Miami, which is the other team that's been rumored for him, you're going to give up a young guy, whether it's Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero, to get him. You're giving up a young piece. You're not giving it up for just 3-4 months of Kyle Lowry. You're giving it up for this season and the next few. Now, how good he is over the next few, that's debatable. He's getting up there in age and things like that. But I don't think that's going to deter anybody, because anybody that was jumping in the Kyle Lowry sweepstakes was always planning on signing him in the summer.
Yeah. And if you win a title this year or next year, then the cost was worth it. Apparently the Rockets are going to deal, or it's very likely that they're going to deal, Victor Oladipo before the deadline. Miami and the Knicks seem to be the top two suitors. Either one of those places seem like a good fit for you?
I mean, it's hard, because the thing about Oladipo, he's not what he used to be, and nobody has any idea if he's ever going to really get back to that level before the knee injury. You know, it just kind of sucks in that scenario. So you're not sure. And then he's another guy that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year that's going to be looking for a big contract. So it's, you know, are you bringing him in and then willing to sign him to go big four, you know, really commit to him? Miami makes more sense, because if he does kind of reach that level, he's more along those guys' timeline than with the Knicks, who are all a bunch of young guys right now. And it would be weird for the Knicks. They're beginning to do well, and they got the young kids. They're growing. But now to just kind of throw it away to pitch for somebody else that's not in your timeline just seems like the old Knicks regime, not the new one.
We all know at this point that Aaron Gordon has asked for a trade from the Orlando Magic. Reports today that they're likely to deal him before the deadline. Mo, is there a favorite landing spot for Aaron Gordon? He's been really good this year, doing a lot more on-ball creation, and his defense has gone up a tick. So, I mean, I think he could help a lot of teams, and only makes $18 million a year, so affordable.
My favorite stat about Aaron Gordon, and I think I said it on the ding for Monday, he's only 25 years old. I feel like he's older. I felt like he was 28, 29.
He feels older than Oladipo. Somehow. Right. I don't know why.
I mean, he's only 25, so there's still a lot of room for him to kind of grow and become that guy. The guy, the team I want to see trade for him, and I think it's more just, I think he would make this team really interesting, and it's the Portland Trail Blazers. I think he's another guy, you know, you add him on the short roll, you know, coming out of that, you know, Dame pick and roll and hitting him in the high post area, he can make some things happen. I think it'll open up a lot of doors and make things interesting. That's where I would like him to end up. I just don't think that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, I actually like him in Denver, which seems weird, but I think him at the four next to Jokic and with Michael Porter Jr. at the three could be pretty potent, and he'd be a boon on defense compared to Paul Millsap. And it would slide Millsap into that backup big spot, which helps him quite a bit there too, because they're shorthanded. So I wouldn't hate to see that. This one's a little bit surprising. Malcolm Brogdon. Apparently the Pacers are listening to offers on Malcolm Brogdon. And that actually came as a shock to me, Mo, because Malcolm Brogdon is a really good player. I don't know. You think they're going to move him?
I don't know, but I think sometimes we kind of lose, you know, look too much to like, oh, they're listening to offers. Yes, they're supposed to. That's how you know what the guy's value is. If it's one thing, if you felt like, hey, Malcolm Brogdon's an untouchable, which I don't think he's good enough to be considered an untouchable player. If you're the Pacers, it's not like they're lighting things up right now. I think they're like ninth or 10th in the East at this point. So, you know, I don't think they'll move him, but it's one of those things where they're going to listen to offers because somebody might call with a crazy offer from Malcolm Brogdon that you go, yo, we got to pull the trigger on this. And that's kind of the point of it. It's one thing to listen to offers. It's another thing where you're actively calling to trade that guy. So I think that's two different things. And sometimes we lose sight on media types. We make it a bigger deal when somebody listens to offers versus, you know, when teams are calling about a guy.
A couple of big names expected to be bought out. Andre Drummond expected to be bought out and then signed with the Lakers. J.J. Redick is likely to be bought out by the Pelicans. Is there a landing spot for him that makes sense to you? He hasn't been very good this year. It's probably the worst shooting season of his career. Not really a good defender. I just don't know if any contenders are going to want to go for that, or at least not in a role that seems like it's important, I guess.
Well, I would just look at it as every team's going to want more shooting in that scenario. So at some point you're going to say, okay, yeah, we'll always have the guy off the bench that can knock down threes if we need it in a pinch. And he's had a rough year, but I don't know if I'm going to say like, yo, JJ can't make shots anymore. It just feels weird saying that. I feel like he in a new, different situation, different scenario, he can kind of be back to his old self. So I don't know really landing spots necessarily, because it's just there's so many things up in the air in terms of what teams might be doing or whatnot. But maybe if Philly does get Lowry and that costs Danny Green in that trade, maybe they do bring in JJ. That's just having a guy that can feel comfortable, a guy that can shoot the three ball, you know, and it has that relationship with Embiid and so on. So maybe that's a landing spot, but it's kind of got to see where the trade market ends first before we start looking at how the buyout market's going to shake up.
Oh, the Doc Rivers, J.J. Redick reunion tour. I can't wait for it. That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about all the other shows that we've got on the Athletic Podcast Network. Follow the shows that you love on the app so you get notifications every single time an episode drops. And if you're not already a subscriber, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and sign up. Literally nothing to lose except for advertisements. You get all the shows ad-free. And of course, no ads ever on any of our excellent reporting and writing over at theathletic.com. Thank you guys, as always, for waking up with us. Mo, please.
Ding, ding.